But one of the most powerful stories I've ever heard was a true story, which I'll read to you. It's a very short story, but it's I think you'll really see how it relates so well to our faith. It's about an African farmer who had heard tales of other farmers who had made millions of dollars discovering diamond mines on their property. These tales so excited the farmer that he could hardly wait to sell his farm and go prospecting for diamonds himself. So he sold his farm and spent the rest of his life wandering the African continent, searching unsuccessfully for the gleaming gems that brought such high places, such high prices on the markets of the world. Finally, the story goes, worn out and in a fit of despair, he threw himself into a river and drowned, committing suicide. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, or farm in this case, the man who had bought the farm happened to be crossing the small stream on the property. Suddenly, there was a bright flash of blue and red light from the stream's bottom. He bent down, picked up the stone. It was a good-sized stone, and admiring it, put it on his fireplace mantle as an interesting curiosity. Several weeks later, a visitor to his home picked up the stone, looked at it closely, and nearly fainted. He asked the farmer if he knew what he had found. When the farmer said no, he thought it was just a piece of crystal. The visitor told him he had found one of the largest diamonds ever discovered. The farmer had trouble believing that. He told the man that his creek was full of such stones. Not as large, perhaps, as the one on the mantle, but they were sprinkled generously throughout the creek bed. Needless to say, the farm that the first farmer had sold so that he might find a diamond mine turned out to be the most productive diamond mine on the entire African continent. The first farmer had owned, free and clear, acres of diamonds, but he had sold them for practically nothing in order to look for them elsewhere. The moral is clear. If only the first farmer had taken the time to study and prepare himself to learn what diamonds look like in their rough state, and since he had already owned a piece of the African continent, to thoroughly explore his own property before he looked elsewhere, all of his wildest dreams would have come true. Now, that story, I think, relates so much to our Catholic faith. Our Catholic faith really is our property that possesses so many beautiful treasures and diamonds. We possess the Eucharist. We possess the seven sacraments, reconciliation, confirmation. We possess the Blessed Mother, the angels, the saints, the sacramentals of the Church. We really have in our possession really acres and acres of treasures and diamonds in our faith. And yet, there are people that drift away from the faith. They go elsewhere because perhaps they never knew of the great treasures that they had in their own backyard. Well, this coming Tuesday, we start up our RCIA classes. This is our journey of faith that begins where Catholics like yourselves can deepen your faith so that we can discover the richness and the treasures of the faith that we possessed. Really, for these classes would be for anyone who just wants to learn more about the Bible, about the catechism, about the teachings of the faith. Perhaps we have Catholics that have never been confirmed. Maybe you moved in high school and just never got the sacrament of confirmation. These classes would be perfect for that. If you've been away from the church and are just coming back, maybe been away from confession 5, 10, 20 years, these are wonderful classes to come back to the sacraments. Or maybe you just are a different denomination and would like to learn more about what the Catholic Church teaches, and maybe you want to get baptized or receive the Eucharist or get your confirmation. So these are our wonderful opportunities that we have in this classes that we are starting on Tuesday. Now, in these classes, we really are going through the journey of faith, and it's an opportunity for an interior conversion to deepen our faith life, our walk with God. The very first night, we'll have three or four people give their testimonies on what led them into the church or back to the church. One of our people was married to a Catholic for 23 years, and she came to Mass every Sunday. And she said, well, after 23 years, I might as well get credit for it. So she came into the church a couple of years ago, and then many others as well. Out of curiosity, do we have any converts in Mass today? Raise your hand if you're a convert to the faith. Okay, maybe I'll have you speak at the first night too, okay? So I know who you are. Then we go through the existence of God and the arguments to show that God exists. We go through the divinity of Christ, the revelation of, go through the Bible, sacred scripture and tradition. We cover the question, why is the Catholic Bible different than the Protestant Bible? Why do we have seven books that they don't have? We'll spend some time on that question. We'll then cover the creation of the angels, the fall of Lucifer, the first, greatest of all the angels. We'll talk about the fall of our first parents and how original sin came into this world. And then we'll cover the life of Christ and go through the four Gospels showing the differences and how they show different facets of the life of Christ. And then we'll cover the topics of sin and morality. For example, what is the difference between a venial sin and a mortal sin? It's a good question. People need to be able to know the difference between a venial sin and a mortal sin. We'll also cover the seven deadly sins. All of you are familiar with those. In that class, I'd like to show how each of the castaways in Gilligan's Island represents one of the seven deadly sins. You know about that, right? Sherwood Schwartz, the creator, that he gave each one of the characters one of the seven deadly sins. So you have to come to the class to find out which one the skipper was, and which one the professor was, and which one Lovey Howell was. See, aren't you glad you came to Mass this morning to learn about Gilligan's Island and the seven castaways? So then we cover the church history and cover the popes from St. Peter to John Paul II, and the four marks of the church, and show how the church is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. One of the topics we spend time in is papal infallibility. What does that mean? When is the pope infallible? We then cover Mary and the saints, and topics is very important topics to those brothers and sisters of other denominations often have questions about Mary and the saints, the Immaculate Conception, the Assumption of Mary, and things along those lines. We also cover the vestments and the history of the Stations of the Cross and all those wonderful things you'll see in a church. Then we go through the seven sacraments, baptism and confirmation, the Eucharist, confession. See, confession, a lot of people don't understand. They say, well, why go to confession to a priest? Why can't I just go to God alone? Well, we're going to spend quite a bit of time explaining that topic on confession, and also the sacrament of matrimony, the anointing of the sick. Under that topic, we cover suffering. Why does God allow suffering in the world? If God is good, why are there so many bad things that happen, tragedies and other disasters? But we spend a lot of time on that topic of suffering. And then we talk about the priesthood. And the two big questions that always come up in the priesthood is, why don't priests get married? In other words, why is there a priestly celibacy? That's always a big question that we cover. And then women's ordination. Why don't we have women priests in the Catholic Church? We spend quite a bit of time on that as well. And then we conclude by going through the last things, death, judgment, heaven, hell, and purgatory. That's always a big question. Why do you believe in purgatory? Where is it in the Bible? Where we show many places where it's talked about in Scripture, the importance of praying for the dead, the idea of purification. And we also talk about indulgences. What are they and how do we gain them? And then the Ten Commandments. We cover each of the Ten Commandments, and this is where we deal with the moral issues, such as abortion and contraception, homosexuality, sterilization, in vitro fertilization. All these topics are covered in the Ten Commandments. So really, the RCIA is a journey of faith. It's a time for a conversion of heart and to eliminate sin from our lives. Like Jesus said in today's gospel, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. He's referring to, let's say, if somebody has a problem with stealing, they need to cut out that sin from their life. Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Perhaps somebody has problems with envy or lust or vanity. Well, they need to cut out that sin from their life. So the Lord is giving us an opportunity to eliminate sin, to grow in relationship with the Lord. Now, whoever comes to the classes will get a couple books. You'll get the Bible. You'll get the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is so important. Because so many times people get their religion from the secular papers. And the secular papers can often misunderstand church teachings. So we go right to the horse's mouth, as we say, and go right to the teachings of the church. And everything we teach in the classes is not going to be the opinion of theologians or my own personal opinion. This is going to be rock-solid Catholic doctrine based upon the one holy Catholic and apostolic church founded by Christ. So you're going to get the authentic teachings of the church through the catechism. Now, today's gospel, Jesus said, whoever causes one of these little ones to sin will be greater for a millstone to be tied around the neck and be thrown into the sea. Now, we want to make sure that we don't lead anyone astray. That's why we only use the authentic teachings of the church to give these courses, the catechism, the Bible, and the true teachings of the church. So we don't want to lead anyone astray with false doctrine. That's why these classes are so important. We also use a book called The Faith Explained. Now, the first year that we had the classes, we had 22 people receive confirmation at the Easter Vigil. Last year, we had 39 people receive confirmation at the Easter Vigil.